views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The following presentation is brought to you by Heartland
Media Group. Capturing the moments that make life great.
Let's go, girls.
It's about growing personally and professionally.
What's the one thing that really drives you, that really drives your passion?
It's about climbing the ladder or opening a new door.
Too many people give up too early on their dream.
It's about enjoying your professional journey.
I enjoy what I do.
It's about keeping things real.
So the interview is an interview in the interview. I like this.
It's all about you.
But I knew that there was something else I wanted to do with my life. I knew I wanted to help people.
This is Up or Out with Connie Fife.
You love your voice. You need to be on radio.
And now, your host, Connie Fife.
Hey, welcome to Up or Out with Connie. This is your business radio with an edge, and I am so super, super stoked because today's guest is Peter Friedman, and we're going to be talking about enhancing the customer experience on Facebook Messenger and social media. So it is time to turn up your volume because it is Up or Out with Connie. So here's your challenge question for today. What are you doing to revolutionize your marketing campaigns? Now, I had asked someone a similar question to that recently, and I was blown away by the response I got, which basically was, what marketing campaign? Well, folks, if you're sitting in the C-suite or you're an entrepreneur, you better have a marketing campaign because that is what's driving your business. And today's guest, Peter Friedman, is going to be talking about how Facebook is really advancing the way that businesses are using apps to enhance the customer service. This is also, you know, a way to revolutionize your marketing campaigns as well. And it all includes from brands to developing your marketing strategies to empowering, you know, the consumers, whether it's B2B or B2C, they are making more intelligent decisions every single day. And this is also, you're going to learn today, the way to strengthen relationships with your brand. You know, in a way of messaging and using those strategies to increase your brand awareness. But let's take a really quick break right now because we do have to let our sponsors hang out with us because they're the ones paying the bill. So hang in there. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Connie Fife, your unstoppable diva, your host of Up or Out with Connie. I am thrilled to be a headline show on C-Suite Network, where you can grow your brand, grow your tribe, and be unstoppable. We are the hottest podcast for entrepreneurs, C-level executives, and market leaders. And you can hear me each week right here on the C-Suite Network. Also on Conscious Business Network, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, and over 900 stations around the globe. Be sure to follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Thanks for listening. Be bold, be connected, and be unstoppable. Now we are back and you're listening to Up or Out with Connie, and that is W-C-O-N-N-I-E. It is now my pleasure to introduce former GM of Apple's Internet Services Division, author of CMP Social Media Handbook, which is a step-by-step guide for leading marketing teams in the social media world. He is an expert for developing marketing strategy for Shabbats, which I really, really want to know more about. And he empowers intelligence to connect with consumers. And he is the CEO of Live World. Please welcome to the show, Peter Friedman.
Hi, delighted to be here.
Hey, Peter, how are you? I thought I forgot about you there, didn't you?
Oh, just for a little bit, maybe. But I'm here.
You're here. We are so thrilled that you are here. So you are the guru. You are the master of Facebook messaging and those messaging apps and the way that they are changing the way we're doing business today. So I'm really curious to know how this is happening because there is so much out there right now about social media and how you should be connecting with your customers. And then the question is, okay, is it Facebook? Is it LinkedIn? Is it Twitter? So I am going to turn the mic over to you, as they say, and I want to get your input on that. How does that really work?
Well, one critical thing to keep in mind is, on the one hand, it's all new, and yet it is the oldest form of sales and marketing that we have, which is conversations with people. One day someone's going to write the history, 10,000 year history of business, and they're going to go, it was all talking to people and having conversations and listening to your customers until this funny aberrant period between World War II and the turn of the 21st century. Mm-hmm. It was all this mass one-way marketing and the brands didn't listen to anybody and talk to them. And then the internet and social media, and particularly messaging, brought back the fundamentals on nuclear steroids. So we're entering the age of messaging. And what's really going on here, it's just bringing us back to the most basic notion of just talking to each other, having conversations with your customers, understanding what they're about, and giving them an experience that's quite personal because it's a conversation. And what we've seen is, you know, for a while everybody was doing this, we got all digitally disrupted, and the digital gave us online apps and web pages, and we're sort of used to that now, when we're on a computer. But if you pull way back and look at all history, or even today, the whole world, all that digital everything is a tiny little fraction of people talking to each other.
Right.
So messaging applications, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, WeChat in China, are enabling people to use digital media to talk to each other in a very big way. And today,
but is it still an impersonal conversation because you're still talking through a machine, messaging versus really picking up the phone and having a conversation with someone or seeing them face to face? So is it impersonal?
Well, that's a really good question. Now, I've been doing this for almost 32 years. All the way back when I was at Apple and we just called it chat, it wasn't as big as ubiquitous now. And what we found is that when you're talking to people through basically text messaging, just think of it that way, it can be very personal and very connected, and much more so than email or just interacting with a web page or something like that,
right,
or auto voicemail thing or something. It's very much so. And if you were born after 1978, you know, that's majority of people now. I'm going to be more and more so.
Yeah. I was just graduating high school in 1978.
Well, that still counts. That makes you a hybrid. But you grew up with this as a utility by how you communicate. And if you look at somebody who is in the social media generation who grew up with this, you'll notice that they can carry on multiple conversations at once. And they're very personal. There's a language to it. And they understand how people know and what they mean. And they're actually able to interact socially and personally much more so than the generation before, because they're doing it to multiple people. And by the way, some of it's video. I mean, Snapchat is essentially a messaging application, and you're going to see more and more photo and video embedded into it.
Right, right. So, I mean,
I just want to point out that there's a lost art of letter writing in history.
Oh, yes.
Personal through letters. So
right.
Just think of this as letter writing, they're just short letters.
And people really, I mean, they live on that short, quick snippets because we're all so busy and we're just going. And it's those quick messages that we really need. I mean, sadly to say, that's how I communicate with my kids a lot of the time.
Find that personal? Sometimes intensely so?
I find the person to the fact that I heard from them today. Even if it is a quick, hey, mom, how are you? I love you. I'll talk to you later. Just that quick message lets me know that they're doing okay.
Yes. Well, this is one of the reasons we know this has taken over everything, because this younger generations, it's the primary form of communication.
Oh,
and
it is.
And they communicate and connect personally with more people than the prior generation because of this technology. The sort of, we'll call them medium and more experienced. I don't want to say older generations.
We're more going to do it too.
If they want to talk to their kids and grandkids, it's the only way to do it.
Well, I know it is. I mean, with my kids, I mean, they're adults. They have their own careers. They're off doing something. And we live in different time zones. And the best way for me to reach out to them is that. Now, I have to say, there was one time that I was not happy that my daughter texted this message to me. She texted to tell me she got engaged.
That's like on Sex and the City a bunch of years ago.
Right.
You broke up with me with a post-it note.
Right, post-it. Right. I was like, no, not cool. You need to pick up the phone and call me to tell me that you got engaged. But she couldn't understand why I was upset.
She didn't know why.
No, I met a, she didn't know why.
She's actually a friend of mine, and she must be late 30s now. She was 32. This is 6 years ago.
Okay.
We're having coffee, and she gets a phone call from her boss, and she stares at it. She's like, what? Doesn't he know I'm busy? I don't want a phone call. If it's important, he can text me so I can handle multiple interactions at the same time.
Right.
Another interesting dynamic with your kids, well, not yours today, but it's sort of going on. You know, kids are in their room, you know, when they're kids.
Right. Yeah.
With messaging, texting, but messaging.
Right.
You can be talking to them when they're in the other part of the house. A lot of people didn't do that for many years.
Yeah.
So you're all in one room. Now you're not all in one room, but you can connect more.
Connie!
I think, if you say, oh, but I like talking in person, sure, that's great too.
Yeah.
But if you look at life, people aren't always in person. They're very busy. And this lets you connect a lot more. Now, we know that social media passed email and search in terms of usage a bunch of years ago. Last year, in 2015, the top four messaging apps grew bigger than the top four social networks. Today, Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp, which is also owned by Facebook, but it's
right,
together are sending and receiving over 42 million messages a minute, which is 60 billion a day.
That's
two of the services, and they're just getting started. This is going to grow a lot more, and that's a pretty phenomenal number when you think about it.
Oh, yes, like you said, and they're just getting started. Wow. I mean, I'm just blown away by that number. So, but what is the Shabbat? I mean, how are brands integrating what you call the Shabbat communications to advance marketing campaigns?
Well, I love that word, Shabbat.
I know.
It's like some religious thing, but it's actually chatbot.
Oh, is it chatbot?
Chatbot.
Oh, okay.
But I may use Shabbat someplace.
I like that. I like the Shabbat.
Facebook, when they rolled out their system for this, kept referring to conversation bots because they wanted to be a little more highbrow. But if you're me and you've been doing this for 32 years, I looked at it, went, wait a minute. When I started this company, which was 21 years ago, we were all about chat. We had a service called Talk City, kind of a precursor to Facebook. It was big on chat, and then chat kind of went away. It's just like chat back on steroids. And we wrote chat bots a lot. So what's going on here is a chatbot is a little piece of code that's like a smart piece of code that's like a smart assistant. It's like Siri on an iPhone or Alexa from Amazon. It's just a little piece of code that's smart enough to talk to you, try to figure out things that go on. And they're really quite great because they bring this to another scale level. I mean, you got 42 million messages a minute. And it's important to understand this isn't just about texting or photos or videos. People are going to do everything through this. These things have APIs. These messaging systems are going to be big ecosystems with, you know, you'll be able to get your information through it, change documents, make payments, shopping, everything. And that's not just a vision. That is live today in China in WeChat.
It's happening.
It's happened. So much so that some of my clients who are all Fortune 100 clients, as they expand in China, their entire digital strategy is WeChat. They're not going to have a website. They're not going to have a phone app. It's all going to be in WeChat. And I bring that up so that when we talk about chatbots, we understand it's little smart pieces of code to help you with many of the everythings. And we'll give it some more.
So how is this affecting the small business owner, the entrepreneur that have this type of technology? Like, listen to me, I didn't even know how to pronounce it. But how is it affecting our major corporations today? I mean, how is it affecting the way they're doing business?
Well, it's just getting started at that level. Okay, for the last few years, it's consumers talking around. So now, because in the U.S., Facebook has made it an open platform with APIs, you can integrate and do more things. Just this last year is where it's really getting started. The first thing to keep in mind is that this lets you have conversations with your customers, whether that's engage them and build awareness and talk to them about what they need, help them with their shopping, or customer service and support things. So it lets you have conversations with greater reach and greater scale than you could without it. So if you're a small business, just, or even a big business, just if you could get your customers to come in and talk to you every day, several times a day.
So it's serving your customer before actually selling to your customer.
Before, during, and after.
Right. And Hilton already does that fabulously.
Hilton is doing it. KLM is doing it. Walmart is doing it.
Right.
Express is doing it. They're all just beginning. Their pilots are trying different things.
Right.
But they're helping people. And so you're standing there, and you got to keep in mind the point of customer experience, the point of sale, the point of customer experience, you know, it was like the medieval marketplace and then general store, and then it became Walmart, you know,
right.
Which is a client of mine, I should mention. And you were in store. Last 15 years, a lot of it's become on the computer, Amazon, all that.
Right.
Now it's going to be in the phone. And this isn't just a shrunk down desktop. This thing goes with you and it can be much more personal and engaging. So the point of customer experience is walking around in the customer's
hand. Right there in the palm of your hand.
And that means it goes with you and it's where you are. And this is going to cause a lot more integration of in-store experiences online because people like being around stuff, right? So now you can find out whatever you want and you go, hey, I want to know about the ketchup. And maybe this hasn't happened yet. Okay, but this is coming.
Well, this is where consumers are more intelligent. They have it right there in the palm of their hand. They can immediately look on there and say, okay, what is this product all about? How many stars does it have before I go and purchase this bottle of ketchup? They're looking at the other feedback from everyone else, and that's where they have that intelligence.
Right. And now with messaging, you can talk to everybody. So you'll be able to talk to the manufacturer. You'll be able to talk to the Walmart. You'll be able to talk to other people who have the product. You'll be able to, if you need help, someone will go, oh, I'll be right over. Phone come right over to you. So it's a much more customer-centric experience. So for example, this is just, you know, a nice hypothetical example.
Okay.
I hold the phone up. I point it at the ketchup. Next thing I know, I have a choice. I could talk to the manufacturer, the store, other people who used it. Well, I want some spicy ketchup for recipes.
People right.
Suggestions. Then I don't know where it is. I ask the store, hey, where is this? A service person says, I'll be right over. I'll walk you right over.
Right.
This is a completely enriched experience. Meanwhile, if you're the store, now you know this person wants the ketchup. You know, like they want their ketchup. You know what they like and what they don't like. You also know that they had trouble finding it. So every piece of this is information you're gathering, understanding, helps you understand your customer more. You keep it all, which is a little better than when it's on the phone or something, or just
right.
So the next time that customer comes along, is, oh, you're the guy that wanted the ketchup. Okay. Did you know that we also have all this going on? Give you a better experience that you can spend your money with us for? So you're creating a much more personalized, connected experience through all these different elements. And the chatbots help you scale up because they're smart little agents that help you get going along. And the critical thing here to understand is that, you know, it's early, they're rough and all that.
Right.
But they're wonderful and people really like it because you got some smart stuff helping you. You really like it up to the instant it isn't working, at which point it keeps going. You really hate it all backfires.
Right. So where's the balance? Yeah. Right. Where is that balance? Where do you find that balance of me as a consumer, someone like, so I'm vegan. I know when I go to my local store, they know I'm vegan. You know, when I'm checking out, they're like, okay, you know, like why did you buy bacon today? You're vegan. You know, those sort of questions. So how do you find that balance? You know, between the, you know, the human intellect and, you know, that chat box and the efficiencies of the chat box. Like, where does that balance come in?
Well, the first thing is to sort of philosophically understand that people want the best experience that combines both. So you have a lot of people in our industry, you know, and they're software engineers and everything, or they're invested in software, and they're like, oh, this is going to replace everybody. You got to start with the customer experience and then work your way back to the technology. By the way, you know who said that? Steve Jobs said that.
I know Steve Jobs said that. Yeah. And I was just thinking about that. And when you were saying, you know, that intellect, and because that is a concern of that intel and, you know, that the IQ or the intellect, all of the software packages really taking over human civilization. So, you know, and that's where people's fear is.
Well, we're a software company and a services company, and I have all these software engineers. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people who think this is just going to replace everything human. And my attitude is, Maybe it will stardate 400 years from now. It isn't going to do it anytime in our lifetime because it's limited. It only can do so much. First off, people want human experience.
So they do.
They want another human being.
They do.
Second, the software can only go so far. It can only do what it knows to do. And I'm going to be pretty smart about that. But generally, it can only work in the context of what it's got. It doesn't know nuance and context. I could give you tons of examples because we have done well over 2.5 million hours of moderation engagement of user conversations in our 21 years. Mm. And there's just lots of different things where, you know, you think, oh, well, I just do this, it'll be perfect for the customer. Right. But it isn't quite. So we used to do HBO when they had community websites.
Okay.
And the culture of the communities had to do with the show. So basically, if you were in Sopranos, you talk like Sopranos. You know, I'm going to whack this guy. I'm going to do this and do that. Which in another context, like Sex and the City, you wouldn't allow that.
Right.
Wrong meeting. So sometimes things that a piece of software might think are bad are actually good. Also, you could have a situation where you have a crisis going on and unhappy customers upset about something or an activist group complaining at you.
Right.
And you're going to use bad words to say awful things.
That's right.
And the software is going to go, oh, bad words and awful things. Let's cut this off. The problem is you can't cut that off from a business point of view because everybody's going to look like you're censoring, trying to not take criticism.
No, I mean, you need to let it be heard. Right, yeah. Right.
So you really have to know the nuance and the context, and software can't do that. And you have to give an emotional, gratifying experience. But what you can do is deploy the chatbots at one level to do certain things. And right at the instant that you need a human, the human comes in. Now, I should say that my company's been writing the software to do that, and we're deploying that. We have that pilot. And the other way
around. Hold that thought. When we come back from the break, I want you to share a little bit more about your business and how folks can learn more about you and a lot of the software that you've been developing. So hang in there for a minute, real quick sponsor break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Greg Davis. Connie asked me to pop in for a moment to tell you about a great opportunity. Have you ever listened to a podcast and thought, I should be doing that? But I don't know how. I don't know where to start. Well, Up or Out with Connie Fife has partnered with Park Lane Media Group to offer you PMR podcast production. What is PMR? Production, marketing, response. The three key elements you need to successfully build your podcast success. For more information, visit parklanemediagroup.com or email podcast@parklanemediagroup.com and be sure to let them know that Connie sent you. You have a story to tell. We'll help you share it. Come to parklanemediagroup.com today and start building your podcast success.
You're listening to Up Route with Connie, and today we have Peter Friedman on the line, and we're talking about the chat box and the efficiency of chat boxes. And before break, Peter, you started going into some of the programs that you have and what your company's developed. So tell me really quick, in a couple of minutes, what is it that your company does and how can you help our listeners?
Okay, well, LiveWorld's a social customer experience company. We provide a software platform, workforce agents, you know, like outsourced workforce agents, and consulting services, you know, strategy content for very large brands. We're focused on the Fortune 1000 to help them manage their social media messaging, basically to deepen customer relationships. And we're about the conversations. We're not about publishing brand content or ads or any of that. We're really focused on how do you stimulate, manage, create, guide, and derive value by having conversations with and among your customers.
Okay, very interesting. And how can somebody find you? What website, email address?
Just go right to liveworld.com. It's all there. My book is there. You can actually, the book is available for sale. It's a C-suite bestseller. But if you want, you can download the entire PDF of the book right from our website. I mean, it's a serious book of, you know, a couple hundred pages. But
How cool is that?
And you learn all about what the real core of this is. And you know, our philosophy, going back to what we were talking about, transformative power of online dialogue and relationships, and how this enables people to create value together that they couldn't by themselves. And, you know, our business is the software and services to help you do that with social media. And we really believe it. And we believed it for, you know, the whole of this company and another 12 years before when we were at Apple. And what's great for us is in this age of messaging, the market has finally come 100% to what we're all about. Because you can't get anywhere in messaging platforms if you're not paying attention to conversations. So with and among your customers.
I can see you just get really get excited about that. So, and we're both in the C-Suite network, and you're part of the best-selling C-Suite, and myself as well. So a little bit of connection that we have there too. Because of the technology and the technology that you're talking about, do you see companies like the C-Suite Network and groups coming together to form basically, whether it be an advisor group or a coalition, or, you know, where everybody is helping each other and, you know, sharing resources and, you know, and putting more out there? And do you think the technology has really been a driver to help that, to make that happen?
I think it has, partly because the content and the transformation of business and what you have to do is so intense. The velocity, I mean, the velocity of our society.
And it's quick. It's quick. It's got to happen now.
Yeah, right. You really need help from other people. And the other reason is the technology itself enables you to get help from other people.
Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't live it out. Like you said, social media has been around for ages, but we really just came into it with, I know myself, really probably in the last decade. And without it, I would be lost. I don't know how I wouldn't be able to be sitting here and having this conversation with you today.
It's also, and this is a really nice thing for our business model, the companies that pursue this and do better and better at it, they win. And the ones who don't. So you really have to, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's the 1960s. And if you go, I don't know about these newfangled phone things, I'm just not going to bother with that.
Right. Okay.
and you won't really be talking to anybody in your customers, in competitors. You're on the phone with all your customers very soon.
You got it. You got it. And I mean, we're in the same space too, working with Fortune 1000 companies. And again, you know, a great way to do referral and sharing there as well. But to our listeners, that's what it's all about. And this is what technology gives you. So make sure you check out liveworld.com and have a conversation with Peter. So Peter, we just have a few closing minutes here. So let me ask you what I ask everybody. What advice would you give to our listeners for staying true to their passion?
Well, number one, define your passion, define who you are. Mm. Say, what am I all about? You know, we use a party metaphor in social media. Well, like this is putting on a party for your customers.
Great advice.
Is it? The party should reflect who you are. So that's number one. To stay true to your passion, first you have to define it so you know what it is and then hold to it. And it should be who you are.
Yes.
And if that's not going to work in business and you want to work in business, then redefine yourself. But figure out who you are and take that forward as the core value of what you're doing. The second thing is think about this not as a channel for ads and messages, but a means by which you can enhance your customer's experience by being able to talk with them and encourage them to talk to each other. And it's like I said, if you were, whether you're a small little store, the biggest one in the world, or a manufacturer, if you could really have conversations with your customers every day, wouldn't you do it? Isn't all the 60 years of surveys and tools and all that just a proxy for having conversations with your customers that got too big to do it? This lets you do it on a really big scale. And you can be the smallest company in the world and keep with the biggest. Or you can be the biggest one in the world and suddenly become local and personal. If you've got if you've got the courage and persistence to do it.
So that is it for today. I mean, our time always goes by so quickly, and I'm always excited when I have special guests like Peter on. I could just talk and talk and talk about this stuff for such a long time. So I want to thank everyone out there for being part of our community. Keep sending in your success stories and questions to askconnie@upperout.com because we want to hear your stories and we want to share them and we want to help other people be motivated to take action. And so whether you're sitting in the C-suite of a Fortune 1,000, 500 or 100 company, or you're an entrepreneur and you're sitting in your own C-suite, you can create a meaningful, purposeful and profitable life. We are now in 2017. Hold your head high, living and doing what you only dream about. And be sure to subscribe to our iTunes page, Facebook, and LinkedIn because you don't want to miss any of the good stuff. This is Connie, your unstoppable diva, and you're listening to Upper Out with Connie. It's been great being here with you today. And ask yourself, if you could do anything, would you still be doing what you're doing now? Until next time, be unstoppable.